Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 6, 2019. Coming up this hour,
President Trump threatens to boost tariffs on China.
Trump is clearly laying down the marker here.
Trump tweeting that he's going to raise tariffs represents a knife point.
This is really the height of brinksmanship politics.
Global stocks tumble with equities in China leading declines.
The dollar strengthens, the yuan plunges, and oil slides.
The U.S. deploys an aircraft carrier to the Middle East and a warning to Iran. Plus, President Trump says Special Counsel Bob Mueller should not testify before Congress. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees won, took the series from Minnesota. Mets lost, got swept to Milwaukee. NBA playoff road win for Toronto and Denver.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are tumbling following new tariff threats from President Trump. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 54 points. Dow futures down 517, and NASDAQ futures down 184. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. The CAC in Paris down 2.2%, and no trading in London today. 10-year Treasury, little change to the NYMEX crude oil right now, is down about 2%, down $1.17 at $60.77 a barrel, and we're going to have to check back in on the Treasury in just a moment. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.40. It's at $1,283.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1185 against the dollar, and the yen is at 110.72. Nathan.
Karen, the calm in global markets of the last few weeks has been shattered by two tweets from President Trump, who is now threatening to boost tariffs on China. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Mark Niket.
Trump is clearly laying down the marker here. It's unclear if he's looking for specific concessions or he's unhappy with something that's already been negotiating, but he clearly wants something different in these talks. This could put the Chinese in a box, and, you know, if they do respond to Trump's demands, it could look like they're caving to, you know, in this case, a tweet.
Those new tariffs would increase levies on $200 billion of Chinese imports from 10% to 25%.
And it led to reports that Chinese trade negotiators were considering delaying or canceling trade talks scheduled in Washington this week. John Liu is a Bloomberg executive editor in Beijing.
The Chinese have always said that they will not negotiate at knife point. And I think there are going to be a lot of voices in Beijing saying that Trump tweeting that he's going to raise tariffs represents a knife point.
China says its delegation is still preparing to travel to Washington for talks, but a Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman declined to answer questions about the date or whether the group would be led by Vice Premier Liu He.
President Trump is also floating the possibility of a new 25% levy on another $325 billion of imports. That would hit goods not already covered by current tariffs. Joyce Chang is global head of research at J.P. Morgan.
This is really the height of brinksmanship politics, and it's making the outcomes more binary with everybody focused on the Friday deadline. And there doesn't seem to be much leeway now to much go past that.
Before the president's tweets, this week's talks were seen as the likely final round of negotiations, with the U.S. targeting this Friday to announce a deal.
The news has royal financial markets with U.S. futures down. S&P futures, anyway, down by 1.9% this morning. European stocks are lower now by 1.5%, but assets in Asia so far have been hit the hardest. Bloomberg's David Inglis joins us from Hong Kong with the very latest. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Stocks in the region had their worst day this year, with the MSCI Asia Pacific ex-Japan gauge falling close to 2%. Some of the worst damage, as expected, was in China, where the CSI 300 fell 5.8%. Shanghai Composite was off by 5.6%. Shenzhen Composite off by about 7.5%. And the small caps index down by about 8%. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis. Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, David, thank you. We also saw China's currency weaken by the most in 3 years following the threat of increased tariffs from the White House. Rohit Garg is Asia trade strategist at Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
We actually still think that these recent tweets are some sort of negotiating tactic. So in that sense, it doesn't really change our medium-term view that Chinese yuan is still a bit undervalued. And at the end of the day, if we do get a trade deal, then there is still quite a considerable scope for Chinese yuan to actually rally against the U.S. dollar.
All right, now the offshore yuan is trading at 6.7811 against the dollar.
Oil is also tumbling following those tariff threats from President Trump. Bloomberg's James Thornhill has details from our Sydney bureau.
There was a very sharp drop at the open here in Asia on the back of those tweets we got over the weekend. You've got to bear in mind, crude's had a very good run this year, up over 40%. So, you know, there was an element of positional risk there as well, and the Trump remarks have caught the market off guard there.
And checking oil prices now, NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% on $1.04 to $60.90 a barrel. Brent is down 1.33% at $69.90.
All right, let's turn away from trade news now. Occidental Petroleum is a step closer to acquiring Anadarko after sweetening its offer for the company. Occidental increased the cash portion of its bid and agreed to cover the breakup fee Anadarko would pay for abandoning its deal with Chevron.
And we could learn more about the bidding for Anadarko when Occidental reports earnings today. Bloomberg's Jill Schneider has more.
Occidental reports after the bell, and questions about its $38 billion bid for Anadarko will likely dominate the conference call. Last week, Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway invested $10 billion in Occidental, with the investment contingent upon completing the Anadarko deal. It's an unusual bidding war for the company, with Occidental's smaller size and financial resources making its offer riskier for Anadarko shareholders, despite a higher offer. Jill Schneider, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jill, thanks. We have new details on the fallout from two Boeing 737 MAX jet crashes, with Boeing now saying it knew of a problem with a cockpit alert system months before the first deadly crash. Bloomberg's Doug Krisner reports.
Boeing said it was aware of the problem but didn't tell airlines or the FAA until after the Lion Air disaster last October. The cockpit alert is activated when the plane's angle of attack sensors send conflicting signals. Boeing told the airlines the alert was standard across the MAX fleet, but was only working on planes that had a separate indicator on the cockpit display. That feature was not standard and only available at an additional cost. Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. And on the heels of those trade developments overnight, we're seeing some big names in tech trading lower in the pre-market, including Apple and AMD. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's find out what else is happening in the world this morning from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The U.S. is sending an aircraft carrier strike group and bomber force to the Middle East to send an unmistakable message to the Iranian regime, citing a number of troubling and escalatory indications and warnings it suggested were linked to Tehran. Late last night, the White House made a surprise announcement that the USS Abraham Lincoln was being deployed there. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says we will hold the Iranians accountable for attacks on American interests. President Trump now says special counsel Robert Mueller should not testify before Congress, a reversal from Friday when he said it was up to Attorney General William Barr to decide. A Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee said that a tentative date of May 15th had been set for testimony. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell on CBS's Face the Nation was asked about Barr's missing the House Judiciary Committee hearing last week.
He missed the deadline last week to give us the full Mueller report. There have to be consequences for that. For that reason, I think you have to move this obstructor out of the way, and I'm recommending that we impeach Attorney General Barr so that we can get the information we need to protect our country.
CBS's Face the Nation can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. At least 41 people are dead after an Aeroflot plane on a domestic Russian flight made a fiery emergency landing in Moscow. Aeroflot says the jet, with 78 people on board, suffered an engine fire after technical problems forced it to return to Moscow yesterday. Heavy rain slowed down the investigation into a military chartered Boeing 737 skidding off a runway in North Florida. NTSB Vice Chairman Bruce Landsberg says the cockpit voice recorder still has to be retrieved from the Boeing 737.
The cockpit voice recorder, when we recover it, will give us a lot more information on what the crew was thinking, internal discussions, and how they discussed things with air traffic control and their decision-making process.
The plane traveling from Cuba carrying military personnel and civilians wound up in a river at Naval Air Station Jacksonville. North Korea fired a new weapon during live fire drills over the weekend. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo
says that Kim Jong-un missed an opportunity to end famine in his country. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:09 now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, rainy day in the Bronx. The game pushed back 3 hours and then called in the bottom of the eighth inning. Yankees beat the Twins 4-1, won the series 2-1. Couple of the guys who might be in Scranton, if not for all the Yankee injuries, led the way. Mike Tauchman, 2-run homer. And Domingo Germán with another gem on the mound, pitched into the seventh inning, gave up just a run, 4 hits. He's gone from emergency starter to maybe Aaron Boone's ace.
He's not predictable, and he's been able to make a big pitch with either the fastball, the changeup, even the slider at times. That fastball changeup especially, he's been really good. He's been huge. He really has. He's been, to this point, he's been one of the better pitchers, I think, in the game.
Tied for the Major League lead with 6 wins. Germán has taken Luis Severino's spot. Yanks announced he won't be pitching in New York until after the All-Star break. And the Mets have 2 pitching concerns. Jason Vargas had to leave early, tight hamstring. And Steven Matz headed back to New York to check out a nerve issue. All in all, bad weekend in Milwaukee. Swept by the Brewers, back from that 18-inning loss late Saturday. Milwaukee won 3-2. Denver Nuggets back from Friday's 4-overtime loss in Portland. This time beat the Trailblazers 116-112. Jamal Murray scored 34 points. This after Toronto, also with a road win, also getting its series even at 2-2. Raptors won in Philadelphia 101-96. Kawhi Leonard poured in 39 points. There'll be an NHL Game 7 tomorrow. Dallas at St. Louis. Blues stayed alive, winning 4-1. There could be a couple of more Game 7s on Wednesday, depending on what happens tonight with a pair of Game 6s. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And U.S. futures contracts are pointing to a much lower open on new trade tensions between the U.S. and China. S&P futures down 54 points at the moment. Dow futures down 509 points. That's a drop of nearly 2%. NASDAQ futures down 184 points. Bond markets will open at 9:30 this morning due to holidays in Japan and London. The DAX in Germany, the CAC in Paris, both down more than 2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, will new trade tensions with China mean new volatility for markets? Invesco Chief Global Market Strategist Christina Hooper joins us next. Stay with us. This is Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are slumping, Treasury futures climbing after President Donald Trump's threat to increase tariffs on Chinese imports called into question the chances of a resolution to the trade war, the yuan falling alongside crude oil. The cash market for Treasuries is closed due to holidays in Tokyo and London. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 55 points. Dow futures down 522. NASDAQ futures down 186. The DAX in Germany is down more than 2%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.7% on $1.02 to $60.92 a barrel. COMEX gold is up about 0.2%, up $2 to $1,283.30 an ounce. The euro at 1.1190 against the dollar, the yen 110.73, and Tyson Foods is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Trump administration is deploying an aircraft carrier strike group and a bomber task force to the Middle East on short notice in response to what U.S. officials call clear indications Iran and Iranian proxies we're planning an attack on American forces in the region. President Trump says Special Counsel Mueller should not testify before Congress. It comes after a Democratic member of the House Judiciary Committee says a tentative date of May 15th had been set for testimony. President Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, is expected to start his 3-day criminal sentence today at the Otisville Federal Prison in upstate New York. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox were winners along with the Giants. The Orioles game was postponed. In the NBA playoffs, the Raptors and Nuggets won. In the NHL playoffs, the Blues were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined on this Monday morning by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Not the typical Monday morning, of course, after President Trump's tweets on trade. Futures for the S&P and the Dow both down about 2% this morning. Are we headed into new volatility?
At least for the short term, yes, we are. That makes complete sense, just given what's happening. It's not smooth sailing. The United States is clearly worried that it's not going to reach an agreement by May 10th, which it had set out as its goal. And so the president is trying to encourage China to move more quickly. Unfortunately, it looks like it's backfiring. And so I do believe we're probably going to see at least a war of words and more volatility.
Was the market too quick to price in a positive outcome for trade talks in the short term?
I think the market has been too quick to price in a positive outcome for a year now. And so it's no surprise that it's been priced in now. And so it makes sense that we're seeing jitters. We're seeing the kind of sell-off we're seeing. But we should have expected something like that, especially once word leaked about a reciprocal enforcement agreement. That is fraught with peril. And it could be that the U.S. is having second thoughts about what seems like an agreement to that. So it's not clear exactly what's happening behind the scenes. But there's certainly good reasons to be very nervous.
All right. So you say that we're going to see volatility in the short term. What's your outlook long term? I mean, can you make an outlook long term in a situation like this?
Well, we can't make an outlook long term without having a variety of different scenarios. I do believe the base case remains that a deal gets done. But with and that's premised on the view that the U.S. may need this trade deal more than China needs this trade deal. Keep in mind that while economic data has been really strong, what we're seeing is a president who is getting ready for re-election, and one of the key things that he needs to do between now and then is really get this U.S.-China trade deal behind him because it is hurting some parts of the economy. We've seen it in recent Federal Reserve Beige Book. We saw it in the ISM manufacturing survey last week. We saw a lot of weakness there, a drop, especially weakness in new orders. And comments in that survey referenced tariffs in multiple occasions. So I think he needs to really get this wrapped up, and that's why he's motivated to do what he's doing.
Now, obviously, we're seeing these tensions play out in the futures contracts. The bond market is closed due to holidays in Japan and London. How do you see this playing out for bonds when that market reopens at 9:30 this morning?
Well, we're likely to see a flight to safety, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see yields come down in this environment and likely to stay down at least until we see some signs that there's a resolution. I'm going to imagine that we will see some signs fairly soon, again, because I think there are reasons for both sides. But China is not going to negotiate at knife point. It's made that clear. And so it could take some days before we see signs of improvement in relations.
Aside from the tweets and the trade tensions, Christina, do you still see upside to this market?
I certainly see upside just because of the Fed's change in stance. That makes a big difference and really changes risk and reward profiles to a certain extent and advantages risk assets. So that's certainly a very solid, positive underpinning to markets. But again, we have to recognize that there are going to be geopolitical jitters. And it's not just the U.S.-China trade negotiations. We've got a U.S. carrier headed to the Middle East. We're likely to see at least rhetoric become inflamed. And so that could also be a source of volatility for markets.
All right. Short-term volatility, the story of the morning. Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Always great to get your insights. Thanks for being here with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak, a morning where we are pointed to pretty sharp losses for equities when the market opens at 9:30 this morning. S&P futures right now down 55 points. That's a drop of nearly 1.9%. Dow futures down 520 points. NASDAQ futures down 186 points. That's a drop of 2.3%. As we mentioned, bond markets are closed due to holidays in Japan and London. That market will reopen at 9:30 this morning. The Stoxx 600 in Europe's down 1.5%. DAX in Germany down 2%. CAC in Paris down 2.1%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 525 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com. Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and global stocks are tumbling after President Trump threatened to increase tariffs on Chinese imports. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has the very latest from Hong Kong.
President Trump making the threat because he thought the talks were moving too slowly. He said he'd increase tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports to 25% on Friday. That's up from 10%. In effect, President Trump just declared Friday the deadline for tariffs long promised, if no deal. Given the ramifications of that, it puts pressure on both sides of the table. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Brian, thank you. And trade talks between the U.S. and China appear to be on life support, with Beijing struggling to respond. China's foreign ministry says officials are still planning to travel to the U.S., but they declined to answer questions about when or whether the group would be led by Vice Premier Liu He. Andrew Tilton is chief Asia-Pacific economist at Goldman Sachs.
This certainly raises the risks that we don't get a deal near future. I think markets and we had been expecting something to come together over the next few weeks, and clearly the U.S. administration had been expecting something to come together.
And the market reaction has been violent. U.S. futures are down nearly 2%. Europe's Stoxx 600 is lower by 1.5%. China's Shanghai Composite tumbled 5.6%.
Oil's falling to a five-week low as the trade news rattles commodity markets. Checking prices right now, NYMEX crude oil down 1.6% or 99 cents to $60.95 a barrel. And Brent is down 1.25% to $69.97.
Turning from trade news now, Occidental Petroleum's a step closer to acquiring Anadarko. Occidental increased the cash portion of its bid and agreed to cover the breakup fee Anadarko would have to pay for abandoning its deal with Chevron.
And Boeing left airlines and U.S. regulators in the dark about a faulty cockpit alert linked to those 737 MAX crashes. Boeing says it knew the alert wasn't working properly months before the Lion Air crash last year. And again, futures are moving lower. S&P futures down about 56 points. Dow futures down 527 and NASDAQ futures down 186. The DAX in Germany is down 2.1% and the CAC in Paris is down 2.2%. COMEX gold is on the rise. It's up about 0.2%, up $1.90 to $1,283.20 an ounce. And again, NYMEX crude oil is moving lower, down 1.6% on a dollar to $60.94 a barrel. The euro at 1.1190 against the dollar. The yen won 10.72. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is right here to tell us what's happening around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. The U.S. deployed an aircraft carrier strike group and land-based bombers to the Middle East. A U.S. defense official says it's in response to indications that Iran and its proxy forces were preparing to possibly attack U.S. forces in the region. The official says U.S. forces at sea and on land were thought to be the potential Iranian targets. The Israeli army says it has lifted protective restrictions on residents in southern Israel, signaling a ceasefire agreement has been reached with Palestinian militants in Gaza. Special Counsel Robert Mueller
and his testimony will take place before Congress. There is a tentative date. Bloomberg's Ed Maxter has the story.
It is set for May 15th before the House Judiciary Committee, but now President Donald Trump has changed his mind on whether it should happen at all. Now, he said in the past he'd have no objections, and even on Friday...
I don't know. That's up to our Attorney General, who I think has done a fantastic job.
But then yesterday, tweet U-turn. No redos for Dems. Are they looking for a redo because they hated seeing the strong no-collusion conclusion? So Congressman Eric Swalwell on CBS says it's kind of like dealing with a bad kid who now needs to be punished.
The bigger picture here, if we are not able to protect our people from a foreign attack, do we really actually have a government that can defend us?
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
An Aeroflot plane on a domestic Russian flight made a fiery emergency landing in an airport in Moscow, killing 41 people. President Trump's ex-lawyer Michael Cohen is due to start a three-year prison sentence today for crimes, including campaign finance violations related to hush money payments made on Trump's behalf. North Korea fired a new weapon during live fire drills this weekend. It came a little over a week after Kim Jong-un met with Russia. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on ABC's This Week.
These launches took place just after he met with Vladimir Putin.
Right.
So clearly, Chairman Kim has not yet been able to get precisely what he wanted.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is expected to launch his presidential campaign in a few days. That's according to the New York Daily News. The announcement could come as soon as Wednesday. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 5:35 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, good weekend for the Yankees. Minnesota Twins came in, best record in baseball. Yanks took 2 of 3. Yesterday, 4-1, a game that started 3 hours late due to rain and was then stopped in the bottom of the eighth inning. Mike Toffman, a two-run homer, and Domingo Herman improved to 6-1. On the season, Yanks have won 11 of their last 15. Tonight begin a four-game series at the stadium with Seattle. Clint Frazier expected to come off the injured list. Mets are in San Diego. They've lost 8 of the last 11. Got swept in Milwaukee, losing 3-2. The Brewers' Zach Davies now 4-0, very low ERA. The Mets manager is Mickey Callaway.
We've run into some good pitching. We still need to be better than we are, even though, you know, some teams that we've faced have been on a roll. I mean, that kid tonight, he's got a 1-3 ERA or something now. So we haven't been swinging the bats well, and we've run into some good pitching. But we still got to figure out a way to win. That's what this game is all about.
Last five games, Mets have scored only 7 runs, and that includes playing the equivalent of 2 games Saturday when they lost in 18 innings. They're 1-5 versus Milwaukee. They're 2 under .500 on the season. World Series champion Red Sox will visit the White House Thursday. Boston manager Alex Cora will not attend, upset with the government's lack of response to hurricane relief in his native Puerto Rico. NBA playoffs, Toronto won at Philadelphia 101-96. Kawhi Leonard, 39 points. He's averaging 38 a game in the series that is tied at 2. Denver won 116-112 at Portland. Jamal Murray scored 34, sealed the win. 6 free throws in the last 13 seconds. This series also tied at 2. NHL, St. Louis and Dallas tied at 3. The Blues won 4-1. They'll play game 7 tomorrow. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It is 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on the miracle of Microsoft. Dina Bass wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The, you know, market cap success and the sales success is a real testament to CEO Satya Nadella's successful reinvention of the company.
You can read more about that reinvention and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. Management of the Ocean Casino Resort, formerly the Ocean Resort Casino, says it will return to profitability in May. The property opened in 2012 as Revel, then closed 2 years later. It's being transferred from the late Bruce Dyfick, the Colorado developer who died last month, to the hedge fund Luxor Capital. The de Blasio administration has postponed plans to develop private apartment buildings and a public housing site in East Williamsburg, according to Politico. The move would mean another challenge to the city's efforts to generate revenue for the struggling New York City Housing Authority. Connecticut says it'll spend $93 million to upgrade the state pier in New London. WTNH.com reports the public-private partnership will make New London a central hub for the emerging offshore wind industry. New London's deepwater port is ideal because there are no bridges to contend with. They say the project should be wrapped up in 2022. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Podolsky, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Avengers Endgame passing $2 billion box office in its second weekend.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Warren Buffett has upped his criticism of private equity, saying pension funds should be careful.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Florida firefighters will be able to treat a cancer diagnosis like any other on-the-job injury.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting Ford has relocated more than 30 expat managers to other parts of its business from its struggling China unit this year.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching this morning, the European Union is reportedly beginning a formal investigation of Spotify's antitrust complaint against Apple. According to the Financial Times, the probe will begin in the next few weeks. Apple currently takes a 30% cut of revenue from Spotify for distributing the music streaming service on its platform. Spotify calls that a tax on competitors. Shares of Apple, by the way, are down 3% in early trading. Futures pointing to a sharply lower open on Wall Street overall, with S&P futures down 1.8% or 53 points. Dow futures down 510 points now. And NASDAQ futures are down 180 points. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global equities are slumping and Treasury futures climbing with other haven assets after President Trump's threat to increase tariffs on Chinese imports called into question the chances of a resolution to the trade war. The yen is rising while crude oil slides, and the cash market for Treasuries is closed due to holidays in Tokyo and London. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with S&P futures down 53 points, Dow futures down 509, NASDAQ futures down 179, and the DAX in Germany is down 2.1%. The NYMEX crude oil, down 1.4% on 88 cents to $61.06 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2%, up $2.30 to $1,283.60 an ounce. The euro at 1.1194 against the dollar. The yen 110.74. And Tyson Foods among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the U.S. has deployed an aircraft carrier strike group and bomber force to the Middle East, saying there are troubling and escalatory indications linked to Tehran. National Security Advisor John Bolton says the United States is not seeking war with the Iranian regime, but we are fully prepared to respond to any attack. Two U.S. warships sailed near disputed islands in the South China Sea today, challenging Beijing's claims for the third time this year amid simmering trade tensions. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Nationals and A's. The Red Sox were winners along with the Giants. The Orioles game was postponed. In the NBA playoffs, the Raptors and the Nuggets won. In the NHL playoffs, the Blues were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, where it's nearly 5:49 on Wall Street. And talks between the U.S. and China to resolve their year-long trade standoff appear to be on life support now, with Beijing struggling to respond to a pair of tweets by President Trump threatening to escalate tariffs by the end of this week. Joining us now with the latest from our Hong Kong studios, Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran. Nice to talk with you this morning, Enda. And as I understand it, the Chinese delegation was set to return to the U.S. on Wednesday to put the final bow on these trade negotiations, and now that appears to be upended.
It certainly does, and we did have some commentary from the Chinese Foreign Ministry this afternoon, which suggested that the officials are still preparing to make that trip, but the spokesman stopped short of any specific details in terms of who would be in that delegation, when will they leave, and if in fact it definitely will go ahead. So I think there's a sense on the Chinese side that perhaps they are trying to de-escalate the tensions again with the commentary this afternoon that they are willing to travel, but at the same time there's no cast firm signal from them that they are going to go ahead with these talks either. So it seems like we're back in a very delicate position over the coming days.
Is there a sense from the Chinese side as to what prompted this from President Trump? Do they have an understanding of why this happened?
Well, we know that progress had been made on some areas, such as on the goods deficit side of things. China's willing to buy more goods. We know that China had explicitly and publicly made offers on opening up parts of its economy and services sector to foreign competition. Perhaps it seems some of the sticking points were around enforcement of any trade agreement. Remember, China has made promises in the past only for other countries and companies to complain that they haven't executed or delivered. And obviously, the US has considerable concerns over China-sponsored industrial economic policy. So there was always a feeling that none of these issues could all be resolved in the time frame of the current negotiations, and perhaps it's those outstanding issues that are causing these problems so late in the game now.
So does that set up the possibility that we could be in for many more weeks of talks? I mean, if the Chinese side is at least now putting out this willingness that, maybe they will go ahead with talks in the U.S. this week.
Indeed, it's difficult to say. I mean, there is a scenario that this is classic late-stage brinksmanship in the negotiations, that the U.S. want to push for more concessions and China will have to come to the table and make some offers, or it is a signal that, in fact, they have run onto a difficult terrain and that they won't be able to resolve these problems in time for Friday. And if Mr. Trump does go ahead and impose additional tariffs and deliver with threats of new tariffs on the remaining goods, then we're probably right back to where we started. So I think the back channeling between Washington and Beijing over the rest of today, Monday, and tomorrow will be critical to see where these talks go next.
What would the impact be on heightened tariffs for the Chinese economy, given the stimulus that the Chinese government has put in?
I guess on the one hand, it would hurt sentiment. Remember, the economy has been somewhat fragile and was only just beginning to show signs of recovery. Investment by the private sector is still weak. Exports remain somewhat weak. And we know that there was something of a cloud hanging over the economy because of the trade war, and the expectation of a deal removed all of that. Well, if we're back into the world of tariffs, everything I've just mentioned will be in reverse. There will be downward pressure on factories, downward pressure on sentiment and on investment, and on financial markets, in particular the yuan, that had its biggest fall today in 3 years. So you would expect that a resumption of tariffs would pressure the yuan lower. That threatens stability by prompting capital and money to leave China and forcing China to spend their own reserves in supporting it. So the resumption of a trade war with the US would certainly weigh on China's broader economy.
Now, given that, I wonder whether China could afford to hold firm, as it has in the past in these negotiations, when the president and others have made threats like this.
Well, the thinking here is that if the trade war does resume, that the economy, because it has found its feet, gives China a little bit of breathing room. They do have ammunition to stoke growth if necessary. They can pull on the fiscal levers if they have to. The central bank can pull on the monetary levers if they have to. And they certainly have plentiful reserves, $3+ trillion worth of foreign exchange reserves to support the currency. So there is a school of thought out there that China can ride this out for a little while. But nonetheless, it will put pressure on its economy at a fragile time. And that's why net, I think economists say both the US and China still probably want to come to the table to agree a deal in all of this.
Bloomberg Chief Asia Economics Correspondent Enda Curran, thanks for this. And again, the Shanghai Composite Index closed 5.5% lower today. The offshore yuan is weakening this morning as well, trading at 6.7827 against the dollar. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're following this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Hemp producers can apply to register trademarks for their products. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office approved the change, citing the 2018 Farm Bill that removed hemp from the federal list of controlled substances. Verizon Communications, T-Mobile, AT&T, and Sprint are facing class claims alleging they violated customers' privacy rights by selling geolocation data to third parties. And the Justice Department's intervention in the Federal Trade Commission's case against chipmaker Qualcomm is an unusual move that could widen the rift between the government's federal antitrust enforcers.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Steve, thank you. And now another legal story we're watching this morning. The U.S. college admissions scandal is about to become even bigger as prosecutors investigate more parents. And that's making those who haven't even been charged so worried that they're already hiring attorneys. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz.
Bob, the first parents to actually plead guilty are Bruce and Davina Isaacson, who admitted they paid at least $600,000 to get their daughters into USC and UCLA. The government will seek leniency if they provide substantial assistance. How much more can the government learn from them when they already have the cooperation of the ringleader, William Singer?
I think they can learn quite a bit, June, and I think the government is clearly in cooperation mode in that they are looking for additional people to assist them in this case. And when I say that, I mean not only parents, but also coaches who may have been involved in this fraud. Because at the end of the day, they need to rely more on other individuals. They cannot let this case rest simply with William Singer, who will be attacked by defense lawyers, and if his credibility is in any way dented, that hurts the government's case. The fact that they're adding cooperators suggests to me that this case is only just beginning, and they're going to see a significant number of additional indictments and charges coming in the near future.
So as matters now stand, Bruce Isaacson faces about 3 years in jail. Davina Isaacson faces about 2 years, a substantial amount of time. Explain how the guidelines are working here and how much a judge can diverge from those.
Yes, well, these are very serious charges. These are people who have never had a brush with the law before, who are suddenly facing very real jail time. As you mentioned, for the husband, about 37 months and slightly less for his wife. In the federal system, there is no such thing as parole. So if they were to be sentenced to those terms without cooperation, they would do 85% of that time. Here, though, with the cooperation, prosecutors can come in and tell the judge at sentencing how much their assistance was of value to the government. And at the end of the day, the judge has the complete discretion whether to sentence them to jail time at all, or if he does sentence them to jail, how much time that will be.
And that's former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning moving lower. S&P futures down about 52 points. Dow futures down 495, and NASDAQ futures are down 174. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.